Geek Part 1, read and written by Looking for Tarzan. John had always had a geek as a best friend, well, technically fellow geek, since he'd been small. In high school, he'd always been one of the geeks, clever and logical, and he wasn't out of place at all. He'd not always been the toned soldier that the Atlantis expedition perceived him to be. In high school, he'd been tall and lanky, his hair in curtains. He'd always known he wanted to fly. He'd applied to the Air Force Academy in Colorado as soon as he could. Nevertheless, he was still that geeky John inside, with a penchant for maths and his old World of Warhammer collection. He'd never been that stereotypical outright jock. Sure, he'd play football like he should have been. Perhaps he thought rebelliously that it made him a well-rounded individual. At high school, he'd been a geek, and like his fellow geeks, he liked girls. Unlike them, he liked guys too. It didn't bother him. It was a person inside he was attracted to, no matter what gender they were. After his years at the academy, his companions tended to be of the military and don't-ask-don't-tell variety. It had been like burying part of himself. Then he'd flown General O'Neill to Antarctica, and it felt like pulling on an old pair of trainers he'd missed wearing. All this interesting stuff. It was also the day he'd met Rodney McKay. A word to describe Rodney McKay would be prickly. But perhaps a year and a half or more later, John had to admit he had a geek as a best friend again. As well as two aliens and a variety of people he would never have expected to meet, never mind make friends with. Still, it was good to have a best friend like that. However, Rodney and the science team made John's cleverness pale in comparison. Not that he didn't enjoy baiting them, and the look of surprise on Rodney's face when he did maths as quickly as Rodney could. However, the Atlantean perception of him was a grunt, the chief military grunt to be exact. Still, it made a refreshing change, not being the sharpest tool in the box. He left that title to Rodney and Zelenka. End of part one. Geek, part two, read and written by Looking for Tarzan. John leaned on the doorframe of the lab. He'd come to drag Rodney towards the mess where he'd left Ronan and Taylor. Rodney was talking to a female linguist who was the only other person now left in the lab along with Rodney. "I'd rather not," she was saying, looking uncomfortable. "Oh, come on!" "Dr. McKay," she sighed, "I can play chess, but I'm not very good. I can't possibly be a decent opponent for you. Come on, please, one game." Rodney was wheedling, John realised. It took another second for John to understand what was going on. He then fought a wave of irrational jealousy. Rodney was trying his best to flirt with her, and she had missed the point. Okay, maybe being a complete nerd had its positive points. It also helped that he knew that the linguist spent most of her lunch times making googly eyes at Major Lorne when she thought the young Major wasn't looking. John smiled. He'd have to send them on a few missions together. Just because he wasn't currently getting any didn't detract from the joys of matchmaking. He coughed loudly, making Rodney jump and glare at him. "Can I have a moment, McKay?" he said. The linguist gave him a look of utter relief and departed at warp speed. McKay then rounded on him. "You had no right to interrupt!" John cut him off. "McKay, she wasn't interested, and she wasn't getting your not-so-subtle hint." McKay looked like he was going to explode. "Come on, dinner, before you get all hypoglycemic on me," he said, shoving McKay towards the door. "Plenty more fish in the sea, and like most geeks, she's slow on the uptake when it comes to social relationships." He sighed, and John fell into step beside him. "Shepherd," he asked suddenly, "am I completely unattractive? Am I doomed not to get laid for the rest of my life?" "Only if you eat the lemon mousse for dessert," John smiled. "Do you know something I don't?" Rodney was saying. "Not really," John shrugged. "Just if you did ask everyone on Atlantis and the mainland, it's statistically improbable that every single one would say no." Rodney gave him that, "Oh my God, you do math," look, which always made John smile. "I wish you'd stop doing that," Rodney snarked. "What?" "With your mouth," he said. "Besides, it's wrong for you to be able to do maths. It's just wrong." They walked towards the mess, and Rodney went and grabbed a tray. John followed and noted that the linguist was back to her favourite hobby of drooling into her dinner, and even the googly-eyed thing. He and Rodney sat down and talked. Well, Rodney talked while spooning food in his mouth. John half listened as he ate. End of part two. Excerpt from Geek, written and read by Looking for Tarzan. It was, he realised, a really bad idea. A bad idea to be in a closet during a power cut, and being unable to find the manual override. Plus being stuck in here with McKay was reminding him very much that he was indeed a red-blooded bisexual male. Mind you, being squashed up that close to someone was probably a really bad time to realise you had a Major Jones for their ass. And Rodney's constant fidgeting meant he was moving and rubbing far too close to John's really personal space than John wanted. Especially if you had a Jones for their ass, and weren't quite ready to tell them, and really did not want to have to explain the raging hard-on that they seemed to have developed. "McKay," he growled, as the scientist continued to mess with the wires and crystals. They heard a voice outside. The linguist. "Colonel Shepherd, are you in there?" "Yes, he is, and I'm in here too," Rodney snapped. "Oh," the reply came in an amused tone. "How the hell did you pick up on that, and not notice McKay hitting on her? Geeks. Definitely time to put her on Major Lorne's team." "Rodek's just bringing the power back up," she said through the door. "Hang tight." Then the lights flickered and the door opened. John realised he was going to have to do something about this Rodney problem. Short-term response was to have a very cold shower. "You two okay?" the linguist asked. "Yes, it's fine," Rodney snapped. "Now where's Zelenka?" "It was Kavanagh, not Rodek," she said, as John made his escape to his quarters before Rodney committed grievous bodily harm within earshot. This was the only way he could allow Kavanagh to get his ass actually whooped without him himself being obligated to stop it. Geek, Part 4, read and written by Looking for Tarzan. As he'd feared, cold showers were a short-term solution. He fancied his best friend, which meant either coping, getting over it, or risking their friendship for something more. However, getting over it wasn't going to happen soon, and coping was getting harder. He was still a geek at heart, even if Rodney did call him Kirk. Those women flirted outrageously, and they flirted with him first. He was not one to pass up on Nookie when it was offered. He needed to talk to someone about it, who wasn't Rodney, who would understand and keep it a secret. Late as it was, Carson Beckett was in his office at the side of the infirmary. John knocked at the door. "Come in, lad," said Beckett in his usual warm voice. "Hi, Carson," he said. "Can I?" He motioned to close the door. "Of course," Beckett said, realising the importance of shutting the world out of a conversation. "You're right, John." "I'm fine, just... I need to vent a little," John said. "And you're the only friend I could think of that I could talk about it to." Carson nodded. "Well, I hope I can help. Sit down, John." John sat, opened his mouth, fully intending to say, "Well, I've realised that I'm coveting Rodney's ass," or some other witty remark. But he couldn't. He grinned ruefully and rubbed the back of his neck, colour rising in his cheeks. "This is a little hard." "Don't worry, son," Carson said patiently. "It's Rodney," John said finally. "Is he all right?" Carson asked. "I think that's the problem," John sighed. "Oh." Carson had managed to achieve the exact same tone as the linguist had weeks before, the day when it had finally hit him that he liked Rod more than just the best friend category. And the cold showers had started. "I didn't know," Carson continued. "It wasn't on your record." "Well, there hasn't been anyone to put on the record since before I started at the academy, and besides, no one asked, so I didn't tell." Carson muttered something that sounded like draconian rules. John half smiled. "I've always felt it's the person inside that was important, and, well, both when men and women can be comely. But Rodney..." "Hey, my better judgment went AWOL on this one," John sighed. "It's driving me nuts." "I can well believe that, John," Carson nodded. "I don't even think I'd even really thought about it until he tried to ask that little linguist out."
"He did?" Carson snorted.
"Yeah," John laughed. "Very badly. He hadn't got a chance." "No, I think Marcus Lorne might have had something to say about that."
"That's it," I said.
Carson gave him the "oh" look for the second time that night. "It's not like he's chatted up women before," John said. "I mean, with that Brotherhood thing," he thought for a minute. "And Katie Brown asked him out, and he promptly ran away until Laura stepped in."
"Oh, don't remind me," Carson groaned.
"Maybe you're seeing it in the classical sense. Ancient Greeks saw adultery away from the homeland as acceptable, but once it was on home territory, it wasn't tolerated at all." John nodded. "It kind of made sense." still, what do I do? He sighed unhappily. Carson looked at him, and the voice he gave for diagnosis said, One, you could tell him how you feel. Two, don't tell him. Three, flirt with him and see if he takes the hint. End of part four. Geek, read and written by Looking for Tarzan, part five. John left shortly a while later with an idea of what he was going to do and praying to whatever god was listening. He stopped by the lab on a whim. It was empty except for one figure tapping away on a laptop. Rodney. John stood in the door and looked at him, and tried to work out how so many not perfect things put together in that precise way made up someone so unique and right. Like a geode, rough on the outside and shining on the inside, or an uncut diamond with its coarse edges, but with polish and skill, it became a perfect diamond out of the rough. John smiled to himself and walked into the room. Hey, he said, but Rodney didn't notice him until John laid his hand on Rodney's shoulder. Rodney jumped. Shepherd? He questioned. Why are you here? I could ask the same. I wanted to see if you're all right. The shoulder under his hand was a tight mass of muscle, cut on life on Atlantis, and how he'd managed to hone the couch potatoes of the expedition. Jesus, McKay, do you ever relax? No time, Rodney replied, going back to his computer. John put his other hand on Rodney's other shoulder and kneaded lightly, then with more pressure. What are you... Jeez, ow, Colonel! McKay barked as John started work on the first knot. It'd hurt less if you kept still. Ow, quit it! McKay said, but he stopped moving. A while later, John had done as much as he could without having Rodney lie down on his front and his shirt off. No, wait, too late. He had that image in his mind's eye. And damn it if it wasn't making him hard. You stopped, Rodney so plaintively said. That made John's cock twitch slightly. Well, I've done as much as I can without you lying down and with your clothes on. He held his breath and winced at how corny that sounded, and wondered if that had been obvious enough for Rodney to get the hint. Oh, John smiled. Rodney had liked it. Point to him. John swallowed and waited. Okay, then. Rodney stood up and switched. Oh, that's better. He smiled, a genuine snark, free smile. John contemplated giving him another talk, especially as he could see the dark trail of hair in Rodney's lower abdomen as the scientist stretched. He followed Rodney to the transporter and to Rodney's own room, which was tidy, which surprised the colonel. Come in, Rodney said, as they crossed the threshold, and he kicked his shoes off. Make yourself at home. John nodded, not quite trusting himself to speak as he undid his shoes. As Rodney pulled his shirt off to reveal a stout yet muscular body, John swallowed again. Lie on your front, John managed to say, once he'd got his shoes off, and moved to perch on the edge of the bed. John reached out over Rodney's back and began to work out those knots he'd loosened back in the lab. As he worked, he made sure he stayed perched on the side of the bed. If he actually sat in the best place, he'd probably have freaked Rodney out, and left having to explain that no, it wasn't a gun in his pocket. Done, he said at last. Thank you, Rodney said, sitting up and yawned. Well, I think someone's relaxed. Yeah, it hurt like hell at first, though. That's because you get too wound up, John said, prodding Rodney. Quit it, Rodney said, which caused John to start prodding him with both hands, and Rodney poked back. Then John started laughing as he poked. No, and he kept poking, because he was really beginning to enjoy this. Quit there, it tickles, Rodney yelped with laughter as he poked back, and John started to tickle him. And unexpectedly, Rodney grabbed his hands and quickly pushed them up and back, so John was pushed onto the bed with his hands held immobile above his head, and Rodney moved to straddle him before he knew what was happening. Can't move, can you, John? He smiled smugly down at John. But the blood had left his brain and straight down to his already hard cock, and his pupils dilated so fast that he was slightly blinded, not to mention his breathing was short. He'd have to put it down to a defensive move, if, and if this was big if, Rodney wasn't rubbing his cock against his own, whimpering slightly. John was about to ask the very asinine question of what Rodney was doing, but it came out as, "I could shoot you sometimes, John," Rodney said before kissing him. The kiss was aggressive and wild, and combined with the feel of Rodney rubbing against him, was chasing all coherent thought out of the window. So he kissed Rodney back with equal intensity and moved his hips, making them both groan. And then with a growl from Rodney it stopped. Rodney released John, and John felt cold and missed the weight, as Rodney sat on the bed next day dazed. "Huh?" he huffed as Rodney looked at him, and he understood. Rodney seemed to have a major crush on his best friend too. "I?" Rodney said. "You?" "I know," John said. "I wasn't expecting that. Pleasantly surprised, though." He reached out to put his hand on Rodney's thigh. "Just you were the last person I thought would be..." "Bi?" "Interested in fucking me?" "Believe it or not, I'm a little socially inept too. I was a geek, you know. Math club and everything," John said, reaching out to kiss Rodney again, gently sucking on his bottom lip before licking his way inside. Rodney let him and returned the favour.
"You can't be a geek," Rodney said between kisses.
"Perspective," John said. "I can remember pi to 30 places and I know Klingon. Does that count?" Rodney nodded before reaching in between them and put his hand on John's swollen crotch and rubbed.
"Shit,"
John moaned into Rodney's neck. "Lean back," Rodney said softly in his ear and pushed lightly. John complied, his breath rugged as he rubbed against Rodney's hand, trying to make it better. Then Rodney's hand was gone and was pulling John's T-shirt off. He stroked the hair that covered John's chest and down to his trousers, which he undid easily and pulled down those pants and all. Rodney breathed out in awe.
"Hey, it wasn't every day you got the man you'd been fantasizing about naked in bed, was it?"
John pulled him down for another kiss while his hands made short work of Rodney's remaining clothes. "Lie back," Rodney said again. John did as he was damn well told, and Rodney settled in between his knees. "Lie still," he said as he took John's cock in his mouth. His mouth was hot, wet, and knew exactly what it was doing, causing John's hip to buck involuntarily. Rodney pulled away with a plop.
"Lie still,"
flipping over and fucking his brains out, or letting Rodney do it to him. As a hand cupped his balls and a finger stroking from his anus along his perineum while sucking on him, he knew he couldn't hold it for long. He tried to bemoan Rodney's name, but it came out without vowels, or consonants for that matter. He was close and had no lost control. He moved instinctively, one hand resting on Rodney's head and wondering if the man understood the phrase gag reflex. Then Rodney released him. Rodney leaned over him, reaching for the lube that was in the bedside table. "Roll over, John," Rodney said, and leant down and licked John's anus. John had forgotten how nice that felt. Then he felt a coolness as Rodney plied the lube and pushing in a finger while he whispered in John's ear, "I want to be in you, and I want to fuck you." John moaned, partly from what Rodney was saying and that he'd started with the second finger.
"Jesus, Rodney," he gasped as Rodney hit his prostate.
Deeming it time, Rodney pushed in a third finger.
John moaned into the bed.
Then those clever fingers were gone.
"Wait,"
John gasped as Rodney was about to squeeze more lube into his hands.
"Let me do it."
It was Rodney's turn for his eyes to go wide, and as John reached for the lube and squeezed it in his palm and wrapped his hand around Rodney's cock and slowly coated the whole shaft while he kissed Rodney.
"Turn round," Rodney gasped. "I want to be in you."
John turned and felt Rodney's cock brush near his anus, and then that teasing pressure, and then pushing and stretching.
"Shit, John,"
Rodney moaned as he began to move, and he reached forward to wrap his hand round John's cock as he quickened his pace. A keening rose in John's throat as he felt it build in the base of his spine, from the bottom of his toes, and Rodney's moans increased in pitch. He felt Rodney release inside him, pushed over by the spasms in John's body. They collapsed drowsily in a dizzy, half-conscious, completely stated state. Rodney withdrew, and John turned to kiss Rodney and pull him into his arms. John decided today was a good day. End.